What's going on, my friends? It's Dave Sharp. Welcome to Wake Up Legendary. And we have yet another amazing guest this morning, my friends. We're going to be talking about a woman in the health niche who's using her struggles as her strengths, right? Turning her mess into her message and using that to help other people. And this is a beautiful topic, as many of you are looking to try to start over. Some of you have had a test run at a niche or two and are, exploring and testing until you find one that you feel like you can run with. And that's certainly and completely okay and totally normal. Marketing is about testing. And so we encourage you to test, because until you test it and until you experience it, you're not going to know what you like and you're not going to know what works. You know, that's one of the big principles of marketing is until you test things, you do not actually know what works, right? You may even see something working for other people, but until you test it yourself, you're not going to know what works for you. So with that being said, let's bring in Jessica, who is going from chronic illness to helping others thrive in the health niche. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hey, good morning to you too and your beautiful family behind you. Where are you calling in from?
Southern Idaho.
Southern Idaho.
Yes.
Man, I can't help but to think about potatoes when you say Idaho.
I'm surrounded by fields of them.
Are you?
I am.
Well, I was right then. Awesome.
Yes, you were.
You are. So are you in any part of that business, you or your family, or are you just, does everybody else do that there?
I grew up a farm kid. I grew up moving sprinklers in potato fields. And then we moved back like 2 miles from my family home. And we don't now, my husband was in auto body, but we do have a small farm, but it's hay and critters. But yeah, I live in the middle of 3 fields.
That's unbelievable. Idaho potato. Well, it's good to know that, we're growing a lot of our potatoes right here in the good old United States of America, and they're coming. You're keeping an eye on for them. That's one thing I love is potatoes, mashed potatoes specifically, but I love me an old fully stuffed baked potato as well, all the way. So
same.
Oh man, nothing better. A little salt on the skin. Oh
yep.
Man. All right. Well, now I'm hungry. So let's get into this. What did motivate you, Jessica, to want to start an online business in the first place?
You know, to be honest, I wasn't really looking to do it. I'm not super excited to send my kids to college. I would rather send them to a trade or teach them to do something that they can earn a living without going into tremendous debt. And that's where I stumbled across Legendary Marketer. I thought, hey, I'll give it a try. And it's been pretty cool. It's been kind of a wild ride.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, when was that again?
June of last year.
Okay. And so you weren't really looking. Have you ever done anything like this before?
No, I've always worked with my hands. I grew up on a farm, and then I went to school to do X-ray and CAT scan, and I coach volleyball now. So techie stuff and computer stuff is completely out of my wheelhouse and was not something on my radar.
I got you. So as you decided, which obviously you did, to learn these skills, to move forward with our challenge, and then you even enrolled in our blueprints, you seem to have wanted to go all in here and really learn these skills. And what was going through your mind at the beginning? I mean, what resonated with you about this? Do you remember what was the things that made sense that you said, yeah, I want to learn this and I want to learn it here?
As I watched some of the other affiliate marketers, I liked like their online presence, and my kids are watching me, and I wanted to show them like you can do anything you put your mind to. And as I started to go through the 7-day challenge, just that you're great at motivating people, right? Like, you are an amazing motivator, and it motivated me, and it like lit this fire within me that I could do something new and learn a new skill, and one that is going to be prevalent for a lot of years.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I never considered myself a motivator or a motivational speaker, but, you know, I certainly lean on my own story and my own life mm-hmm. and talk about it. And that seems to resonate, and I encourage others to do the same, which ultimately is where you've ended up here, is finally talking about, and I don't say finally, because it's not like you've been doing this that long, but you've decided to launch into a niche that's pretty personal to you. Talk to us a little bit about how you landed there.
So I started with Make Money Online. And my story doesn't necessarily, people can't really relate to my story. You know, I can afford my groceries. I am not in a financial situation that a lot of people maybe are that come into your program. And so I tried that for about 5 months, and I was just failing horribly no matter what I was trying, different things I was trying, different programs to market. And then it dawned on me this holiday season that I can help people who have chronic illness. And there's kind of this hole, especially for women. We get gaslit medically all the time for the problems that we have. I was for a decade. It took me forever to get a diagnosis and to get help. Mm. And I wanted to start helping, especially women, get the help they needed. Learn the tricks that I've learned over years of trial and error to get healthy. And so I decided to switch and run with it. And I stopped Make Money Online that day and made my first chronic illness video. And here we go.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's powerful. That's wonderful. That's exactly what we want, you know, people to do, is to find their passion, their experience, to identify that, to have the, you know, to step into that. And, you know, I do understand why a lot of people launch off into the Make Money Online niche mm-hmm. or the online business niche. You know, surprisingly, that we have quite a lot of people in here in our community as well who also can't afford their groceries. I think mm-hmm. that want, you know, it's not just people who are desperate, who can't afford right. things. But who doesn't want to make more money? I mean, even our right. doctors. I mean, I think one of the big themes about our community is that it's hard to survive in this day and age, even if you mm-hmm. are making a full-time living. We've got doctors, we've got, you know, all kinds of different trades, but the challenge comes when, you know, people say, well, what am I going to promote? What am I mm-hmm. going to, what niche am I going to go into? And I think there's a lot of monkey see, monkey do, you know?
Agreed.
And that's very normal. I want everybody who's listening to know that is oftentimes how we learn. You know, if you, mm-hmm. you know, if you wouldn't have had that to model when you first got started, to bridge you to where you are now, you may have never gotten started, you know. And I think
I agree.
Better to start in a niche that you're going to take some action in, instead of sitting around taking no action at all. And I'm mainly speaking to the people who are listening, who, you know, as you're not getting married to a niche. That's one thing that I want to point out to everybody. You're not getting married to a niche. You see Jessica's family back there. She's married to that family. she can't turn her kids in. She can turn her husband in, but doesn't look like she's going
to
do that.
Not going to.
If she's advertising that he's hers on the show this morning. the niche or products that you're promoting in your business are the exact opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
You can transition, you can pivot, you can't even be in multiple niches at the same time. Okay, so I want everybody to understand how flexible and transferable these skills are for you to be able. It's better to get started in something. And I want to validate you for getting started, Jessica, and congratulate you for getting started and taking some action and pivoting later instead of just sitting on your hands in procrastination and perfectionism until you, you know, until everything was perfect. Mm-hmm. What did you, maybe it was, there was some perfectionism, I don't know, but what were some of the limiting beliefs that you had to overcome when you got started? Was it getting on camera? You mentioned some of the tech stuff. Was there anything else that was a mindset thing that you remember was prevalent?
Oh boy, hearing my own voice, man, it's rough. It's rough. And I don't like to be on camera. I don't take selfies. Like, it was completely out of my comfort zone to film myself, to put a video up of myself. And I'm a perfectionist. I'm a super type A personality. And I had to really get over nitpicking everything in my videos and just putting them on and getting them out there.
Mm. Yeah. Well, surprisingly, I think more of us than you would give credit to are nitpicky about our voice, the way we look mm-hmm. on camera and our stuff. You know, it sounds like some of the comparing the way you feel inside to the way others look on the outside might be prevalent as well, right? Because mm-hmm. here you are feeling insecure like the rest of us.
Yep.
I mean, I was just
I'm a human.
Look, I was filming content the other day with my videographer here. We've got some exciting new things that are coming here in the next couple of weeks. New products, updating the challenge, updating the front end sales material, a whole host of amazing upgrades, some of our best work yet. And you know, I was filming with him and a couple of things came up. I started to get insecure. I was like, let me look at how I look right there. Right. Let me look at that farmer's tan. Let me look. Oh my, ooh, should I change shirts? You know, these things come up. I love to normalize these things so people don't feel like, you know, they're the only ones. What helped you get through some of that? I mean, have you listened to Wake Up Legendary before and heard other people talking about things? I mean, how were you able to have your limiting beliefs come up and do it anyways?
I just told myself if I was going to do it, I had to do it. And with each video that I made and posted, it got easier and easier. And now it just doesn't bug me. Like, even if there's trolls that tell me that I'm the dumbest person online, like, we just laugh it off because, you know, I'm the one making this work. They aren't. And it just doesn't bug me anymore. It got easier with every video.
Say that again.
Which part? It gets easier with every video.
Wow. That was a big old platinum nugget right there. So you're saying that it doesn't instantly get better. There's not any,
no.
But it gets easier with every video. Is that what I heard?
Yes. And there's still, I make a video still and I'll kind of cringe for a minute. And it's funny because my cringiest videos are normally the ones that speak the best to people. That, you know, I get a lot of messages that are grateful for the cringy video.
Wow. So what I hear you saying is that what I like is not particularly what the marketplace likes.
Correct.
So hold on a second. What we're saying here is that when we're creating content and building a business to serve other people, it's not like going shopping for yourself.
Correct. As hard as that sounds, it's awful sometimes. It's an internal battle, but yeah.
You are dropping some diamonds here. when we're creating content and we're building a business, when we're doing our advertising for our business, and then the products that we're selling in our business do not particularly have to be what we like and love. We do not have to love every minute of every video that we create and every single way something sounds or looks, but we have to instead give the marketplace what they want, sell them what they want.
Correct.
Give them what they want. And they may want the homemade looking, what I'm kind of, if we break this down even further to the practicality of it, they want the real. They want the authentic. They want to see behind the scenes. They want to know that it's not. That's one of the reasons why I still do this show on a laptop computer, throwing my hat. You know, the video's not that great. The audio's not that great. It just, you can tell that I'm sitting here on a laptop computer because it's more real. It's more real. You know, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I am, you know, with chronic illness, you share a lot of personal nitty gritty, gross stuff. And my audience loves those posts, even though I'm dying inside as I hit the post button.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, and you know what? Here's what's interesting, Jessica, is that I felt like that in the online marketing niche.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even talking about a personal health thing.
I mean,
I do tend to talk about things in my videos, even though they're not in the addiction niche. I may talk about an addiction or something within my own story, but I felt, you know, like, oh my God, like, you know, like I'm pushing the big, like I'm pushing the nuclear button. Like I'm, you know, like, oh my God, you know, I'm going to blow up the world with this video. You know,
yeah.
I mean, this is the one that's going to do me in. This is the one that people are going to hate me over. This is the one that's going to end my career, you know? And then I post it and I come back and it's like people love it. I mean, that happened with me on my first webinar that I did 13 years ago when I actually told my story and kind of stopped trying to be. Now, I notice I said webinar, not live. We weren't going live. We weren't posting short form videos. We were inviting people on to go to webinars. And I remember telling my story and kind of letting people know, tying my personal story into my training and my pitch. And I just thought, oh, this is going to be the day that my career is the career that I don't even have yet is over before it starts, you know. And I came back and I of course offered something on the webinar. I had more sales than any other efforts that I had tried, any other things that I had done. And it felt total cringe when I was doing it. I think that it's going to, at the beginning, talk to us about how it's gotten better, how it's gotten easier, if you will, to talk more comfortably about some of the things. Now, some things may still be very vulnerable. I understand that. But talk to us about the ease of some of those things rolling off the tongue and how you have, you know, maybe even created a, you know, some sort of a routine for yourself to where you are treating this like a business and actually getting stuff out on a regular basis.
I film a lot of B-roll. I'm constantly filming B-roll and I have a little station set up where I'll write up scripts when I'm doing any type of talking videos, because for whatever reason, and when I get in front of the camera and I have to give any real information, like something, you know, I've got to look up in a medical journal, my brain goes blank. So I set things up in a way in my office so I can film videos pretty effectively. And I don't really get cringy anymore. It doesn't bother me. Like, the first message I got in my inbox where someone was thanking me that they'd had an issue for, you know, 15 years and doctors just told them they were a crazy depressed mom was kind of the switch that flipped for me to take the cringe out of making the videos and sharing personal things. But I'm very much a person, when I make my videos, I have my list, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I have the same routine I do all the time where I have my B-roll, I make a plan, I've got a notebook by my bed, and then the notes in my cell phone. Anytime something pops in my head, I'm taking notes and writing down ideas so I can just keep having videos ready to go on, to be able to post.
Wow. Hey, I'm gonna switch my internet over. I hope I don't get disconnected for a quick moment, but that's what I'm. All right, I'm back. Yeah, I just had to switch my internet over. I realized it was kind of on a bad or a weak signal. Tell the audience what B-roll is, first of all, and what you mean by that. Also, the notes that you're taking, I would assume, is the text that you're putting over the B-roll, right?
Just my ideas. Or, okay, so B-roll is I film things I do all the time. For example, I did a video the other day about people who have really painful eyes in the sun and how it correlates to my autoimmune disease. And my B-roll is me. I'm walking down. I live down a quarter mile lane in between two fields to pick up my kids from the bus. And I'm just filming myself walking down the lane without sunglasses. And I used to could never be in the sun without sunglasses. So, or cooking, cleaning, even making my own videos, I'll film that. Anything I'm doing regular everyday stuff is my B-roll. And the notes that I take, like ideas and the like, any ideas I have or a symptom that pops up. And then as my research, because I don't like to post something without research. I don't like to not have backing for a real, you know, something that's real. And so I take a lot of notes on that so that if someone says, hey, where did you get that from? I can refer them back to where, you know, where it came from. That's one thing I fell into a lot in Make Money Online is I would copy what someone else did and then they go prove that to me. And so then I would hurry to Google and try to find it. And it was like, sorry, it's not. I copied somebody. Like, so now I always make sure to know where my resources are.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And that's a great thing. Look, just wanted to have a moment of talking about resourcefulness versus resources. You know, I Googled B-roll here real quick. Never be afraid to bust out the old Googly and just, you know, learn something. I typed in B-roll just real quick. And then the little kind of people ask, what does B-roll mean? The term B-roll originates from the early days of film when editors inserted supplemental footage or B-roll into the main footage or A-roll to hide visible lines where two pieces of film were joined. In modern film and video production, B-roll describes all the footage that isn't the main action. So, you know, it would be like if you're watching a movie or a documentary or an interview, for example, and we started flashing images of you on a walk or images of you working at your kitchen table or images of you playing with your children. That would be considered B-roll. And one of the hot types of content, which you've all seen, is B-roll with text over the screen. And I think one of the reasons why this works so well, and this is one of the things for us all to be thinking about, is because people can, there's a visual there that can catch their attention, but then they can read it and they don't particularly have to have audio playing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are on their phones in scenarios or situations where they're not able to play audio. This is why these videos work so well. They're not, I want you to think about when are the times that, I mean, you know, maybe even you can think about this, Jessica. I mean, how often are the times where you're blasting the audio on your phone
Never.
Right. So it's something for us all to be thinking about here when we're creating content, because you're probably around people. This is another reason why CapCut is having captions on your talking videos are so important, is because, you know, unless you're coming to a show like this where you're planning on listening, right? Which we have a lot of listeners who come to plan to listen. That's why we have large audiences on the show. You're not blasting your audio where you are with your kids in your home, you know, at the doctor's office or wherever you are, right? At your kid's baseball practice. Most of us don't want people to hear what the hell we're watching. You know, it's kind of like, this is my business, you know? So think about how people are interacting with your content. And if you're not getting the results that you want, you may be expecting too much from your audience. Have you had some of these realizations, Jessica, in your content, realizing that, hey, I need to make this easier for people to consume?
Absolutely. I now don't post a video without some type of words on the screen. I always have caption, or it's always text on screen. And that has helped a lot.
Yeah. Brittany says, just like the saying goes, we all used to pay for ringtones, but we all now keep our phones on silent.
Yes. Yes. Right?
Remember the ringtone time? What's up, Brittany? Yeah, very, very, very true. You know, I mean, now I know mine is like when my phone rings, it's like, oh, Jesus, what was that? Oh, you know, is that an incoming missile or something? It's like, Joe, my goodness. You know, it's like, oh, turn that thing off, right? It's like,
why aren't you texting me?
Totally. Right? It's like, who wants to talk on the phone? It's weird, right? And then you have your boomer relatives who didn't grow up texting. And it's like, oh my God, you know, incoming boomer. I have lots of boomers in my family. So I love them, and we always tease each other. But texting is not as popular with them. Why? Well, if you are a boomer trying this, or you're somebody who grew up not texting as much, understand what people are doing and using nowadays. Understand how people are consuming content on the internet. This is really, really, really important, friends. And I think that when we talk about, you know, testing different types of content, testing different types of approaches, this really is an important one. Because, you know, it goes back to what we were talking about just a moment ago, that your audience doesn't particularly like what's convenient for you. It's not convenient for you, or it's convenient for you to just record a video and talk into it and post it on the internet. That's the quickest way to get it up, but that's not particularly what's convenient for them. They want to be able to read it and consume it quietly.
Yeah.
What other little things like that have you learned in the past 6-9 months as you've created content and tested things that you've realized, hey, this works, or this is something, if you were going back and giving advice to your younger self starting out, what would be something that you would say?
It kind of bucks against something you teach. So I'm going to tread a little carefully. One of the biggest things for me, so something with my chronic illness, is extreme exhaustion. Like, I am tired all the time. It doesn't matter how much or how little sleep I get, I'm exhausted. And with my schedule, posting 3 videos a day was like killing me. It was awful. And so when I started my new niche, I decided I was going to do 1 video a day, but I was going to make it as information packed as I could. And I might be growing a little bit slower, but my health and my brain damage is so much better. Like, for my situation, it, you know, we each can do what we can do. And like, I know the perfectionist in myself, like it was like three times a day or nothing. Like, I can't screw this up, right? Like Dave says, I got to post three videos a day. And it took me about 5 months to go, whoa, like my mental health isn't worth necessarily three videos a day. Now there's some days I'll post some extra videos, right? But we can all do what we can do. And we just got to do our best. And it doesn't mean you're going to fail. And so, yeah, just giving myself some grace to do it and recognizing, you know, I might not grow quite as fast as if I was posting three videos a day, but I'm a nicer mom and wife posting one nice video a day.
Yeah. And you know what? I gotta shout out Connie here. Value is better than quantity.
Absolutely.
That is something. I mean, I actually think that we have heard more from others in our community who have taken our teaching and lessons and kind of turned it into a three video a day kind of thing. I mean, a lot of the principles that I teach, I've been doing since, you know, 13 years ago, and they've been modified over the years as new platforms have come out. So a lot of our customers here have taken our teaching and kind of modified it to the modern day. The reels, the short form video content. You have to remember that didn't exist when I was when I started. And so I want to clarify for everybody to hear, fully agree with quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. I also agree with doing what, I mean, you can't burn, this is not what we're here for. I'm glad, you know, to burn yourself out or to injure yourself or to, I love that you've made that modification for yourself. And I would encourage anybody else, if you're just putting out crap to just get three videos a day, modify that down and put out one good video a day. Put out one solid video a day, put out a video a day, and then maybe focus on writing an email to your list each day. I tell you, when I first started, that was more important than posting a video. We didn't have short form video platforms to post to. So my number one daily method of operation, my income producing actions that I would take would be writing an email to my list, actually communicating to the leads. This is one of the things that I see as much as anything that people are, I just think, missing out on opportunity with is actually emailing the list and nurturing the list and creating expectation with your leads to go to the inbox, to look for your email. You know, they should be receiving an email so often from you, if not daily, that when you don't, that they expect to receive an email the same way that they expect the sun to rise. Seriously. And if they don't, they go, where the hell's an email from Dave? Where the hell? It'd just be like this show or our kind of daily routine here at Legendary. It's like, wake up, let. I mean, what's going on? Is everything okay? Right? So I like nurturing your email list. I like the full package versus just trying to focus on one specific thing to hit some numerical mark that's way less important than the whole holistic approach. So talk to us a little bit about your lead generation and kind of, are you nurturing your leads? Are you emailing them? What does that look like for you? Is that a skill that you're still in develop? We're always developing it, but where are you kind of at in terms of your copywriting and your emailing your leads?
I send an email every 3 days and I typically do, two or three informative emails and then a new product and then some informative videos that back up that product and then another product a few more down. So, and then I touch back on previous products that I have sent through email, but I do every 3 days is when mine go out.
And that makes sense with what you said about your videos. So how are you? Great. Congratulations on that. That's a huge, I mean, you're on top of it. You really have found your routine.
I try to be, but I don't know about that.
In order for a business to be successful, a business has to be consistent. And oftentimes that consistency can be boring for mm-hmm. entrepreneurs. And we don't see results immediately. So we stop or we change directions. And I just want to encourage you to stay the path and build a good, legitimate, long-term business in this niche, because it's going to be a slow grower.
Yeah.
And you already know that because it's mm-hmm. it's a niche that is not as, you know, not as many people can identify or need this information. But for those who do, it's wildly important. How did you and would you recommend finding products to promote and sell in a not so common niche like the chronic illness and or Hashimoto's niche that you're in?
You know, that's kind of been one of my biggest battles. I take my symptoms and I Google affiliate products to do with that. And I probably am a little too extreme on things I pick to promote because I like to try a lot of them. Because of sometimes the how hard it is for people to get help, I don't like to just throw things out. Now there's some things like there's some like paleo diets and there's some different things, some proteins that are clean. Those are easy to promote because they would be something that I would use. But I like to really research and learn and probably even try some of them I have. I thought I had the perfect one and I ordered some and I tried it and it was like, not a chance would I ever like, I wouldn't give this to my sister, like no way. So, but I just always, I search and Google my symptoms with affiliate programs and just keep picking through them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, good. You know what? That's called resourcefulness. And that's exactly, that's kind of the beat the pavement mm-hmm. that so many of us, that every successful marketer and entrepreneur and business owner has to do in order to find, great products, in order to find great ingredients, in order mm-hmm. to find, great vendors, great partners, great affiliates. You have to pick through them. Yeah. I mean, so often, you know what I mean? It's just like going to anywhere, going to a store, like, you know, everything in your life was not just hand delivered to you. You had to sort through it, pick through it. You had to try things to land on the things that you want. You go to the grocery store. There's not just a list of exactly what you're supposed to buy. You got to try stuff. You got to read ingredients. You got to pick through the items. You got to try stuff. You got to take it home and take a swig and realize you don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, in doing that, you actually get the experience about the product that you can talk about, your own personal experience, you know, and you find things that you like that work for you as well. And the more you can mm-hmm. incorporate things into your life, I think, especially as a new marketer, if you can get into a niche of something that you can try, that's what I did with online marketing at first. I mean, I went through courses. It's exactly what a lot of people do here at Legendary. They go through our course and then they say, man, that was great. You know, I'd like to share that with people because I had such a great experience. That's normal. I mean, okay, I'm using this software. Okay, I want to share. They have an affiliate program. I start checking for an affiliate program with all the products that I buy.
Mm-hmm.
Be like a major nugget that I would offer everybody is take a look at some of the all the products that you use in your life that you're passionate about. And I wonder if they have affiliate programs. I wonder if that sparks any ideas for niches, side niches to test, products that you could sell and recommend. I mean, even though I'm in the online business niche, I could absolutely write an email or even create a campaign or sell a product that gave my daily routine. All of the products that I use and the things mm-hmm. that I do in a day to have remained productive, consistent, you know, and have success in my life, right? To show up to be able to operate my business. And I could talk about my morning routine, and I could go through and offer all the products or have affiliate links to all the products that I use in my morning routine. For example, these RX bars I eat every day. They may have an affiliate program. I mean, I'm giving myself ideas right now. They may have an affiliate program. I could promote them. A specific type of coffee may have an affiliate program that I drink. You know, anything I use, I could include in that program with an affiliate link. I could even send an email out. I don't even have to create a product for that. I could just send an email out and say, I want to do something different. I am going to give you my morning routine for my own personal success that I found, so you can try some of these things for yourself. This morning routine has been, you know, extraordinarily successful for me for these reasons, and this may be a something for you to try. And then just boom, just the affiliate program after affiliate. We do the same thing a lot with technology. You know, a lot of people over the years have wanted to know, hey, what microphone do you use? I mean, this is a pretty expensive microphone right here that I used to record if I'm going to do a voiceover audio. I used to use it on the show until I just got tired of it being in my face all the time. But one sale of that, if there's an affiliate program, could be hundreds of dollars. Mm-hmm. You know, and people love to know about the little things that you use in your business, it just to create. There may even be people in your niche. It's amazing how you cross promote things in a niche. Even if you're in the health niche, say, hey, if you wanted to start on your journey of sharing your story, whether it be for therapeutic purposes or whether it be to share and monetize and build a business, I want to give you my list of equipment that I use, courses that I've taken, just in case you wanted to learn about actually sharing your experience and your knowledge out there with the world on chronic illness. You know, let's help make the world a better place. Now, all of a sudden, you've cross-promoted things in a way that doesn't confuse your audience because you've tied it in together.
You're giving me more ideas.
And that's what this is all about, you know? I mean, it's all about giving your audience different looks, giving your mm-hmm. audience different, you know, giving them different ways to be interested in what you're doing or you're saying, right? What have you learned about yourself on this journey so far in the last 6 or 9 months, Jessica?
That I can really go really outside my comfort zone and learn new skills, and that technology isn't quite as scary as I thought it was. But yeah, just that I can do hard things, and it's kind of funny. I don't know. Maybe this isn't a hard thing, but it's a hard thing to me because technology and social media, like I don't love social media. I love it now, but I am not a social media person. So I can do hard things for super uncomfortable that doesn't take working with my hands.
There you go. Wow. I love that. I love that. I love that for you, Jessica. Before we end, I know that there's been that we're all in this because there's a financial gain to it and we want to build a business. Has there been a therapeutic gain for you in doing this, in sharing your story, your information, some things that have been vulnerable to you that in getting them out there and putting them out there for others to do what they will with them? And obviously the goal is to help. And mm-hmm. I know that it is helping many people. How has it helped you non-financially speaking to do what you've been doing?
It is way more rewarding for me than the money is to get a message in my inbox that I've helped someone. Like, it is the most incredible feeling. in the world, and like money can't buy that for me. I know how hard of a struggle it's been for me. And I know if it's been that hard for me, it's been that way for a lot of people. And man, those messages in my inbox are incredible. Like incredible.
Well, good for you. Good for you. I tend to really, really agree with that. Well, it's been a pleasure. You have a beautiful family back there. My best to you and all of them. Thank you. Come back and see me in the show in the near future. Keep us posted on your journey, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Congratulations on finding your voice and getting your message out there and following through with this. It looks great on you, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Jessica. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
All right, my friends, you can find Jessica over at Thriving Hashimoto's Mom. Thriving Hashimoto's Mom. All right, my friends, if you can relate, go connect with Jessica. If you want to see how she's marketing something outside of the box, something unique, something different, then go check her out, follow her, support her. That's what this community is all about. It's about lifting each other up. It's about supporting each other as we launch our side hustles and careers here in this modern era, you know, with what I think is a gold rush digital opportunity here. I think that what we're seeing right now is similar to what, you know, previous generations saw with the gold rush opportunity. You know, people still talk about that today. Well, there's a digital rush right now. And you know, I'm screaming from the rooftops to try to get people to take advantage of this and capitalize on it. There's, you know, especially with the pandemic being a catalyst for a lot of people to wake up and realize that, you know, hey, you may not be as secure as you thought you were, or what the heck are you going to do if you get locked down again? You know, for many of you, things will be very different if that happens again, because you have these skills and you know how to utilize this little bugger right here to work for you instead of against you. Thank you for all of the amazing comments. You know, as always, Melissa, what a beautiful show full of supportive ideas and information. Thank you both of us for giving your time. Thank you for being here. Just so many supportive comments. I hope Jessica gets a chance to go back and review them as well. Bonnie, amazing as always. Thank you, Dave and Jessica. Thank you both. Thank you both for sharing. Great information. She was great. Thank you, Dave. I'm inspired after listening to you, Dave and Jessica. Thank you. Hey, this was my first Wake Up Legendary. This has been excellent. Awesome. Glad to have you here. Wow, this was amazing. Alan, another spectacular episode. Thank you. Thank you for your time today, Jessica. Keep on inspiring. So much. Making a difference. Thanks, Jessica. Thank you all for validating and affirming our guest so beautifully. It's just a wonderful thing. And as she just mentioned a moment ago, it's more powerful to hear some of those nice, that feedback and that validation than it is to make an extra buck. I mean, bucks are, you know, unlimited. Thank yous. That was awesome. That changed my perspective. That changed my life. You know, those are worth sometimes, those are $1 million moments when somebody gets to read something like that from somebody. So thank you all for freely giving of yourself in with your feedback and your affirmations. It makes all the difference, and it makes us want to come back and continue to do this and get these amazing guests to bring on to the show. And maybe we'll have one of you or all of you or a few of you listening on the show in the near future. That's what this show is all about, is about the actual customers in our community coming on and having an unscripted conversation about what they're up to. And so with that being said, my friends, one last throw. Get out of here. Have a fantastic day. Make the best of today. Use this information and put it into action. And we'll see you back here tomorrow, as always, 10 a.m. Eastern time for another episode. Peace.